from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo explains the government's plan to reduce stunting to World Bank. Indonesia targets African market and eyes Tunisia as a hub. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed President of the World Bank, Jim Yong Kim, at Bogor State Palace in West Java on Wednesday. Kim, along with World Bank delegation, arrived at around 9 Indonesian West Standard Time. President Joko Widodo invited Kim to utilize technology to overcome stunting, the chronic malnutrition to children. He also explained that Indonesian government plans to involve private sectors and Islamic organization in a bid to reduce stunting cases. He, along with Kim and Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, Health Minister Nila F. Muluk, Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi, and Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung visited the Tangkel 1 Elementary School in Sukabumi, West Java, on Wednesday to observe the progress of the government's programs to cope with stunting. Speaking at this occasion, President Joko Widodo disclosed that the World Bank has so much experience in other countries that is hoped to be discussed together. During the visit, he also highlighted Indonesia's stunting reduction programs by providing additional food and campaigns through integrated service posts, Yandu. The Indonesian government is committed to penetrating the African market following the launch of negotiations on the Preferential Trade Agreement, PTA, between Indonesia and Tunisia on June 25. Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita stated on Wednesday that the negotiations are expected to be concluded in 2018, and Tunisia is seen as a hub to extend Indonesia's product export to the Northern African region and European Union. The PTA is expected to lower tariffs imposed on goods produced by the two countries in a bid to improve trade and investment. President Joko Widodo views a huge potential market in Maghreb, a region of Northwest Africa encompassing the coastlands and Atlas Mountains of Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia, which has not been spotted by Indonesia's entrepreneurs. Tunisia can serve as the hub for Indonesian products to penetrate other markets in African and European countries. The government has extended the special mining permit IUPK for PT Freeport Indonesia to continue its operations and production until July 31st. Director General for Mineral and Coal of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Bambang Gatot, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that to extend the permit, the government has replaced Ministerial Degree Number 413/2017 with Ministerial Degree Number 1872/2018. The previous special mining permit IUPK for the U.S.-based mining firm had expired on July 4. President Joko Widodo had earlier reiterated the government's stand on the divestment of the 51% of shares of PT Freeport Indonesia that has explored gold resources in Papua. Within the past decade, The president noted that Indonesia only had 9.3% of the company's shares. However, President Joko Widodo has admitted that negotiations on the government's ownership of Freeport's shares are running swiftly. In August 2017, Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, and Freeport McMoRan CEO Richard Adkerson met to discuss the issue on the split of shares. Head of the Fiscal Policy Body of the Finance Ministry, Suhasil Hajara, said on Wednesday that innovation of service in digital economy could lead to the development of sharing economy in this Southeast Asia's largest economy. He also stated that one innovation that supports development of sharing economy is utilization of financial technology, fintech, to get access to financing. He also pointed out that currently sharing economy could be made a reality in Indonesia as the world's largest Muslim country, where demand for sharia instruments is high. He views that many types of fintech over conventional financing service, but the number of types of sharia fintech that gives the sharia financing service recorded in the Financial Service Authority is very small. Thus, he added that sharia business process still needs intensive socialization to give fintech players greater understanding to prevent misunderstanding for the people. According to him, coordination with related institutions such as MUI and OJK is also very important to improve literacy in sharia financing in Indonesia. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Jakarta administration, through its health service, has prepared hundreds of medical personnel for the 18th Asian Games to be co-hosted with Palembang from August 18 to September 2nd. Head of Jakarta's health service, Kusmedi Priharto, stated on Wednesday that Jakarta's administration has prepared 688 medical personnel for the upcoming Asian Games. He noted that the personnel, including physicians as well as nurses, will stand by during the implementation of the sporting event. He added that besides medical personnel, ambulances have also been made ready at sport venues, adding that there will be 129 ambulances in standby. The government of East Nusa Tenggara will hold the 2018 Tour de Flores event next November. Head of Tourism Promotion from the East Nusa Tenggara Tourism Office, Eden Clarke, told Antara in Kupang on Wednesday that event has been included in the permanent annual event calendar and was supposed to be held in May, but it is being postponed until September as the government needs to gather its resources. He further stated that the local government has decided to allocate another 3.5 billion rupiahs to the event in the 2018 regional budget revision, which has led the organizers to agree to hold the event in September. In terms of preparation, the office is currently getting ready for the Sandalwood Horse Parade in Sumba Island, which will take place from July 7 to 14, and they will be gearing up to prepare for the event as soon as after the parade finish. Governor of East Nusa Tenggara, Frans Leburaya, expressed hope that the international cycling event will be beneficial for the public, particularly the residents of Flores Island. He urged the local community to demonstrate hospitality to the tour's participants. Malaysian politician and former Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim expressed his views on business relations between Indonesia and Malaysia. This was announced by Anwar Ibrahim as a speaker in a leadership forum organized by the Executive Center for Global Leadership ECGGL in Jakarta on Wednesday. On the occasion, he focused on discussing political leadership. But Anwar Ibrahim also discussed some economic problems between Indonesia and Malaysia. He said that cooperation between the two countries could be strengthened, provided that both governments could have one mind, especially in terms of leadership. If leaders of both countries provide clear direction and ensure to boost cooperation, ministers will follow and so will the business people. Take for example, Pertamina and Petronas, or state-owned enterprises, are in cooperation with the economic framework of PMB. So this is between governments. But from a business standpoint, strong support will be given so that this has to be applied.
Tetapi dari sudut bisnis, kalau kita berikan dukungan yang kuat, saya ingin kemudian ini boleh berlaku.
Anwar Ibrahim further said that the relationship between Indonesia and Malaysia has been running well. Relations between the two countries continue to show a positive value. Both countries are still supporting each other for mutual progress. The similarity in culture of both countries is also one of the potentials that can be developed by both countries in the future. One of these potentials is the cooperation of halal industry between the two countries. Anwar Ibrahim's visit to Indonesia is the second one after being released from prison on last May 16. Anwar Ibrahim was imprisoned in Sungai Buloh, Malaysia since February 2015 during the reign of Prime Minister Najib Razak. That was the news.
Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Registration of Legislator Candidates for the Period 2019-2024. Registration of legislator or members of the House of Representatives DPR from 2019 to 2024 period has officially opened on Wednesday, July 4 to July 17, 2018 by the Election Commission. Prior to the opening of the registration, law hissing sound occurred in the public regarding the requirements stipulated by the Election Commission to legislator candidates ranging from the lowest educational limit to candidate past history. The most public spotlight is related to the past history of the candidates. General Election Commission KPU underlined that candidates who had been involved in legal cases, whether criminal or corrupt, cannot register as candidates for the legislators. There are pros and cons related to the decision of the KPU in submitting such requirements. Regarding the KPU's decision, President Joko Widodo said that he respects what the KPU's decision is following a ban on ex-corruption inmates for the 2019 legislative elections. The president feels that based on the act, KPU is authorized to make the regulation. However, if any parties object to the regulation, the President invites to use existing mechanisms such as submitting court material test to the Supreme Court. In regard to this, the House of Representatives DPR invited representatives of the five state institutions, General Election Supervisory Bawaslu, General Election Commission KPU, Minister of Home Affairs, Attorney General Office, and Minister of Law and Human Rights, to discuss KPU regulation about the prohibition of ex-corruptors to be legislator is currently becoming hot debate. The meeting is scheduled to take place on Tuesday, July 5, 2018. Several institutions caring for the general election assess what has been decided by the KPU on terms of registration requirements of 2009 legislative candidates is prone to trigger dispute. Secretary General of the Independent Election Monitoring Committee, Kaka Suminta, said that the potential lawsuit to the General Election Commission KPU is predicted to occur at the point of finding former prisoner as a candidate for legislative members. According to Kaka Suminta, the political parties may include elements of former corruption inmates as prospective candidates for their political parties. Indeed, the prohibition of former corruption inmates as legislative candidates is stipulated by KPU Regulation No. 20/2018 on the nomination of members of the DPR, provincial legislative members, DPRD, and district city DPRD on Saturday, 30 June 2018. The question is whether the KPU has such authority in relation to the prohibition. The worry of the return of loot and corruption by former corruptors if they become policymakers is well reasonable. The deterrent effect on corruptors is still perceived as having little impact on the people. But we also must recognize that the political rights of an Indonesian citizen should not be ignored. The meeting of five state institutions scheduled this Thursday, it can provide the best solution based on the deliberation and consensus for Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in a regular program Today in History over Radio Service Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start for an event on July 5, 1946, National Bank Day. PT Bank Negara Indonesia BNI was established on July 5, 1946 as the first bank which is officially owned by the Indonesian government. BNI ever functioned as a central and public bank as stipulated in the government regulation number 2, 1946, before finally it has operated as commercial bank since 1955. One Republik Indonesia or ORI as the first official payment instrument, which was issued by the Indonesian government October 30, 1946, was printed and circulated by Bank Negara Indonesia BNI. The date is commemorated as National Money Day, while the establishment of BNI on July 5 is commemorated as National Bank Day. The role of BNI as a central bank began to be limited by the government along with the appointment of Dutch Heritage Bank, the Jabese Bank, as central bank since 1949. Thus, BNI was given rights as bank of foreign exchange besides acting as a development bank by having access to direct transaction overseas. The next event is that in 1959, presidential decree was issued. The failure of Constituent Assembly to carry out its task of forming a new constitution to replace the temporary 1950 constitution and a series of political and security events that shook the unity of the nation reaches climax on June 1959. Finally, for safety of the state based on the law of danger situation for the state, on Sunday, July 5th, 1959, at 5 p.m. President Sukarno issued a decree which was announced at the State Palace in Jakarta. The content of this decree was the dissolution of Constituent Assembly of the 1955 general election vote and replacement of Constitution of Temporary Constitution 1950 to return to the 1945 Constitution. And the last event is that in 2004, Indonesia conducted presidential election for the first time. The general election in Indonesia was purposely addressed to four members of the Representatives Council, namely House of Representatives, Provincial House of Representatives, and Regional House of Representatives, after the fourth amendment of the 1945 Constitution in 2002. The election of President and Vice President, which was early conducted by People's Consultative Assembly, was agreed by the people. On July 5, 2004, for the first time, Indonesians directly conducted the election of President and Vice President. The election was won by Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono as President and Yusuf Kalla as Vice President. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular segment of My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about rice husk waste is utilized to be creative products. Five students of Gajah Mada University, UGM Yogyakarta, utilize rice husk to be processed into glass craft goods. The creativity begins with concerns to see the waste of rice husk being thrown away on the sidewalks. The five students are Payu Aji Pamungkas, Ajeng Ramadhani Fisabilah, Cornelia Armala, Diki Aprianto, and Eti Rahayu. They were guided by Fitria Damayanti Berutu as assistant lecturer. Bayu Aji said rice husk is part of dry bran. Sihardono village, Pundong sub-district, is one of the biggest rice husk producing villages in Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta special region. Seeing the rice husk just thrown in the streets, inspiring the students' patience to process the rice husk into creative products. The scattered rice husks are mailed, then glued, and printed into souvenir glasses. Through a program of community devotion based on creative economy development, the team called GMERS is doing community assistance to recycle rice husk waste into environmentally friendly glass. Previously, the utilization of rice husk in Sihardono village was limited as a mixture of animal feed and the rest was left to be organic waste. Nowadays, through the creative of the students, the rice husk can be processed into commodity with good selling value. Besides training of rice husk utilization, they teach procedure of making, packaging, promotion, and assistance of product innovation. The students also invite people to increase their love toward the environment, such as by keeping the environment always clean and free of waste. It is expected that in the future, the program will become the initiator of rice husk utilization. The products are also expected to be a typical souvenir of Pundong as rice granary of Bantul Regency. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Presiden Joko Widodo welcomed President of the World Bank Jim Yong Kim at Bogor State Palace in West Java on Wednesday. Kim, along with the World Bank delegation, arrived at around 9 Indonesia West Standard Time. President Joko Widodo invited Kim to utilize technology to overcome stunting, the chronic malnutrition to children. The Indonesian government is committed to penetrating the African market following the launch of negotiations on the Preferential Trade Agreement (PTA) between Indonesia and Tunisia on June 25. The government has extended the Special Mining Permit (IUPK) for PT Freeport Indonesia to continue its operations and production until July 31st. Director General for Mineral and Coal of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Bambang Gatot, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that to extend the permit, the government has replaced Ministerial Degree Number 413/2017 with Ministerial Degree Number 1872/2018. Head of the Fiscal Policy Body of the Financial Ministry, Suhasil Najara, said on Wednesday that innovation of service in digital economy could lead to the development of sharing economy in this Southeast Asia's largest economy. He also stated that one innovation that supports development of sharing economy is utilization of financial technology to get access to financing. The Jakarta administration, through its health service, has prepared hundreds of medical personnel for the 18 Asian Games to be co-hosted with Palembang from August 18 to September 2nd. Head of Jakarta's health service, Kusmedi Priharto, stated on Wednesday that Jakarta's administration has prepared 688 medical personnel for the upcoming Asian Games. The government of East Nusa Tenggara will hold the 2018 Tour de Flores event next November. Head of Tourism Promotion from the East Nusa Tenggara Tourism Office, Ende Klaki, told Antara in Kupang on Wednesday that the event has been included in the permanent annual event calendar and was supposed to be held in May, but it is being postponed until September as the government needs to gather its resources. Well, listener, that was the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Buka Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu.
Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
To various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Baharagu Ritual from Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Kalimantan cultural performances entitled Banjar Festival 2018 has been held on June 29 to July 1st at Hotel Indonesia Area, Jakarta. The festival was held for 3 days, presenting various cultural and artistic of Banjar and Dayak Meratus. The distinctiveness of Banjar typical are among other dances, traditional culinary, and even the boats from the floating market that exist in a number of points in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, were also presented. Interestingly, among the series of attractions that performed recently, there is something special because the event was crowded by a Dayak rural community who had never stepped out from their environment previously. Dayak residents performed Baharagu ritual, a Dayak traditional treatment ritual, which is related to the belief on the ancestral spirits. Listener, Dayak ethnic in Kalimantan generally has a healing ritual called Balian ceremony. Dayak Paramasan community often called the ritual by the name Baharagu. Baharagu is a ritual for the treatment of the sick person. Healing is obtained through the prayer of a Balian, a teacher or tribal head to the Almighty, so that the intruder immediately left the sick person. For this ritual, it is necessary to prepare porridge and colorful cakes, coffee drinks, eggs and metal objects like ancient money and young coconut leaves or hanau. This midrib of the coconut leaves is tied at the end and is hung on the roof or ceiling of the house while the other end is left unraveled. When the ritual takes place, the sick person is laid in front of his or her relatives. Then Balian will pray and summon the spirits of ancestors and gods and perform the recitation of mantra or mamang accompanied by drum beats. The Balian will dance in a trance and mobilize his power to awaken or to pick up the cause of the sick. Balian then suck or with mouth on the sick area, then usually will come out various objects such as needles, nails, wire, soil, rock pebbles, and insects. After performing the ritual, the patient should not move or doing any activities for 2 days, 1 night. At this time, the patient is prohibited to go outside the home. Baharagu ritual was held on the first day of Dayak Festival 2018. Besides witnessed by the public, the ritual is also witnessed by some ambassadors of neighboring countries. The community is very enthusiastic about watching this ritual because the ritual has never been shown and is rarely known by the public. Unlike Baharagu treatment in general, which causes the disease, Baharagu ritual this time is filled with some activities such as customary treatment, then the disease is transferred to chickens. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Baharagu ritual of Dayak people. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
Canada World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English. I, ntrica, ntrica, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, maghot, maghot, in English. Mount, recau, recau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English. I eat popeda. Rora ntrica mogot recau. Rora ntrica mogot recau. In English. Yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the nostalgic songs from Indonesian female singer Andi Maria Matalata. Let's listen to the first song entitled Lembah Biru by Andi Maria Matalata. Happy listening.
Sinar di matamu sambil terus berjalan menembus hutan jambu di mana kita selalu bertemu dengan terharu mengenangkan kembali saat lalu.
Andi Maryam was born with the name Andi Siti Maryam Nurul Kusumawardani Matalata. The female singer is better known with her popular name Andi Maryam Matalata. She was also known with the nickname Mutiara dari Selatan or Pearl from the South. The nickname was firstly given by Iskandar, a composer or musician who composed a song especially for Andi Maryam with the same title, Mutiara dari Selatan. Iskandar played much of Andi Maryam's career. Apart from being a songwriter and album producer, Iskandar also teaches Andi Maryam's vocal. Listener, well, for the next song, let's listen to a song entitled Mutiara dari Selatan by Andi Maryam Matalata.
Pandang mata.
Andi Miriam started singing from an early age. In 1970, she grabbed the first winner in the pop singing contest in Ujung Pandang or Makassar, South Sulawesi. After that, in 1973, she followed a similar event at the national level. In the event, she managed to become 10 finalists of pop singer in Indonesia. Well, listener, for the next presentation of song, here is the song entitled Hasrat dan Cinta by Andi Miriam Matalata.
Cahaya pelita di hamparan padang hidup manusia. Kau biarkan tanganmu terluka menjabat penuh ramah di dalam damba harap dan cita bila gelap. Selimut ceria di lingkaran temaram hidup yang nyata. Terciptaku banestapa penuh nista dan dusta di bawah kepalsuan yang ada. Ku ingin semua kan terhapus bau di alam semesta. Menata takjub kurnia sinarmu, melukiskan kata karunia nirwana. Setulus doa yang
the song was composed by Indonesian musician Faris RM, included in the album entitled Bahtera Asmara. The song was released in 1979. The song Hasrat dan Cinta describes a relationship between human and the creator. Well, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Bahtera Cinta by Andi Miriam Matalata. Enjoy the song. Sampai jumpa.
Come.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.